take your Bibles with me tonight to James chapter 1. I love the book of James, very practical book. Most of you probably know that the book of James was written by the half-brother of Jesus, and he ended up being the pastor at Jerusalem. But James was known for his holy life. You read about him in some of the writings, even outside of the scriptures. James was a giant in the faith. He ended up, of course, being martyred. I believe he was stabbed with a sword. That's how he died. But he was faithful, pastor at the church there in Jerusalem. He was known for prayer. James did not wait very long into his epistle to bring up the matter of prayer. It was said about James that he had calluses on his knees. He prayed so much. And I would say today that if we're all honest, one of the areas where we struggle the most in our walk with God is in our prayer lives. I don't know about you, but when it seems like I'm trying to carve out that time to pray, you know, everything wants to flood into my mind at that moment, right? You know? And the devil fights prayer, I believe, harder than anything because he knows the power in prayer. He knows that prayer moves the heart and the hands of God. And so I remember the first day I stepped on campus here. I remember it was in August, and my wife and I, we came down. I was going to speak that day, and that was a big deal for me. It was the first time that I would preach in any other church besides a Baptist church. And I was nervous, you know. And every time I preach, I'm nervous. I shared that with the worship team just before. You know, we pray every single time. I never get over that. But anyhow, I remember stepping on this campus, and I remember just being in the worship service, kind of like tonight. You know, I remember that worship service. I remember just, my wife looked at me about halfway through the worship service. She said, "Something's different here." She said, "I just sensed the presence of God here." And I said, "You know what? Me too." It wasn't a few months later till I realized why I was invited to come back. And this time, Pastor invited me to come to the 6 a.m. prayer meeting. Of course, you know, I didn't want to take the invitation because that's very early. You know, he put us up in the embassy suites and, you know, they have breakfast there. You know, I was planning on getting up, you know, in time to go to breakfast and then, you know, get here on time. And, you know, that put a wrench in my plans when he invited me to come to the prayer meeting. But it was at that prayer meeting that I realized why Westside Christian Fellowship is different. For the first time in my life, I saw a church that really prayed. You know, I'd been a part of churches that would have little, you know, podunk, you know, prayer meetings, you know, every now and then, you know, and it would just persist of one of the deacons getting up and, you know, praying in the most eloquent words that he could pray in, you know, and you kind of wish he would kind of stop because he wanted to pray the whole time, you know, and I've been in those type of powerless prayer meetings. But when I came to Westside that morning and I saw Pastor Shane, you know, laid out here praying, you know, I saw, you know, the rest of many people here, a few dozen people just praying, just worshiping God, and the posture of prayer. I started to realize, put two and two together. The reason why we felt what we felt when we were on campus here is because much prayer has been lifted, even before a pastor, you know, comes to the pulpit. And God began to impress that upon my spirit about prayer. You know, prayerlessness is the great tragedy of the church today. We lack power. We lack the effectiveness of the early church because we lack this depth of prayer in our lives. Pastor James is one who had walked that walk, who had realized somewhere along the line in his relationship with Jesus the importance of prayer. And tonight we're going to look at his outline for effective prayer, you know, how to have prayer that is effective. I'm going to start reading in verse number 5 of James chapter 1. The Bible says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith." So prayer is asking, remember that. Let him ask in faith. with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. D.L. Moody said this, next to the wonder of seeing my Savior will be, I think, the wonder that I made so little use of the power of prayer. Prayer is arguably the most important aspect of our Christian life. As I mentioned a moment ago, we, most of us would say we struggle in this area of prayer. But we're going to learn, we're going to get a lesson tonight from Pastor James, and he's writing to a people, the 12 tribes who had been scattered abroad, and they had been under intense persecution. They had been, you know, under the rule of Rome and many others who would find it very entertaining to torture Christians, to kill Christians. It was fashionable in this time. They were living in a climate where it was not easy to walk with God. And he begins his letter talking about how these diverse temptations or trials were a part of course, God's perfecting in their lives. But then he continues on and he talks about prayer. He doesn't take much time to get to the, I believe, the meat of the message that he was going to write. And he references prayer throughout his letter. The first thing that he points out in effective prayer is that effective prayer asks for the right thing. Effective prayer asks for wisdom. Asks for wisdom. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, how many of us were saying it tonight, you know, you can put my name next to that statement. At times, I lack wisdom. I don't know what to do. And let me define wisdom. Wisdom, of course, is divine. It's from God. It's what to do and how to apply it. It is so important. And the source of wisdom, of course, like I mentioned, is the Lord. And he says, if any of us lack wisdom, let us ask of God. So he gets right to it. He says, if you are lacking wisdom, ask God. Ask him, pray, go to him, petition, request it from him. And it says, who gives to all liberally. When I go to Chipotle, just being real, I'm preaching tonight, right? When I go to Chipotle, I look for the server who gives liberally. I say, put a little bit more on there. Yeah, put a little more chicken, you know, a little more beans. Yeah, like, I'm looking for the one who's going to give liberally. Well, the Bible says, James here is saying, he says to believers, he says, hey, if you are lacking wisdom, if you don't know what to do and how to do it, you can ask God and he will give to you liberally. He'll give you more than you need and he will give you it without reproach. He won't make fun of you for asking. He won't, make you seem like you are less than because you are asking him for what you need. And the Bible says, and it will be given to him, be given to us. Oh, my friends, we need wisdom in this season like never before. If you do not realize what we are pressing upon right now in this country, oh, my friends, we are in for it. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm not trying to be doomsday or, you know, try to be depressing tonight. But there are things coming that we're going to need wisdom. If you're a parent in here tonight, you're going to need wisdom. Oh, my goodness. I'm reminded every day as I try to parent each one of my children who are all different. I need wisdom. D.L. Moody was preaching at church, and he was preaching on the need for a person to be filled with the Spirit, to have wisdom. And there's a lady who came up to him after the message, and she said, you know what? I'm not a preacher, so I don't need to be filled with the Spirit. I'm not like you. And he said, woman, do you have any kids? She says, I have 5 boys. He looked at her and said, woman, you need just as much wisdom as I need to raise those kids, you know? And the truth is, of the matter is, we all need God's wisdom. And the way that we receive it is through asking, through prayer. Jesus, he modeled this. He modeled prayer, not because he needed wisdom, but he modeled the life that we should follow. He would spend time. He would rise up a great while before the sun came up and pray. The disciples knew when they wanted to ask Jesus, they didn't ask him, hey, Lord, teach us to preach. Teach us to perform miracles like you do. No, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they knew this is where the power came from. This is why Jesus had the power that he wielded, and because he spent time in the presence of his Father. He did all by the power of the Spirit. And I'm telling you guys, in this season, we are going to need to ask God for wisdom. But let me tell you, not only should we ask him for wisdom, which is the principal thing, but we should, the way that we ask is important. We must pray with faith. We must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must believe that when we pray that God will give. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, listen to that, you must believe that he is God, and you must believe that he is able to answer your prayers. And the rest of that verse says, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, my friends, we've got to seek his face, like that song says. Everything else can wait. I've come to seek your face. That's got to be the heartbeat of our lives. Pray with faith. We got to have faith in God. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, and he was sailing there to begin his missionary work, and the ship that he was on was in great danger. You see, the wind had died, and the current was carrying the ship towards a sunken reef close to an island where there were known cannibals. Listen to that. And they could see the cannibals on the shore preparing fires. They saw their meal coming. And so, of course, when you're in situations like that, you know, what else do you do but pray? They tried everything. They tried to lighten the load. They tried to do everything, but of course it didn't work. And finally the captain said, we have done everything that could be done. And he says, and then Hudson Taylor says, no, there's one thing that we have not done yet. They said, what is that? And he says, four of us on this boat are Christians. Let us each retire to his own cabin and in agreed prayer, ask the Lord to give us an immediate breeze. That's what they did. Taylor prayed briefly, and he was certain that the answer was coming. And he went on to the deck, and he asked the first officer to let down the sails. That's faith, y'all. Faith is when you ask God, you let down the sails. Faith is when you position yourself for God to answer that prayer. You know, sometimes we pray prayers, and then we don't let down the sails. We don't step out. We just kind of leave it there because it shows our faith is not there. But Hudson, he knew he had gotten a hold of God, and he told the captain to put down the sails. And of course, he got a reply that was rough. He said, what good is that going to do? He said, I told him we had been asking God for when. Let down the sails. And then they finally listened to Hudson, and they let down the sails. And within the minute of laying down the sails, the wind began to blow, and it carried them safely past the reefs. And Taylor wrote, thus God encouraged me ere landing on China's shore to bring every variety of need to him in prayer, and to expect that he would honor the name of the Lord Jesus and give help in each emergency required. I don't know about you, but as I studied for this message, I was reminded of the need for me to have faith when I go to God. I want God to hear me. In our lives, we have got to get back to faith. We've gotten so comfortable here in this country. We don't have to rely on God for our next meal. We have abundance. You know, we have gotten so used to depending on all other things, our employment, our visas, our everything else, everyone else we put before looking to God. And I want to tell us tonight that we've got to get back to having faith when we pray. James refers to a man. He gives an illustration in James 5, Elias or Elijah. He said, a man who was subject to like passions as we are. He was just like you and I. You know what I'm encouraged when I read the Bible? Men like Elijah, they put their pants on or their robes on just like you and I did. One leg at a time. These were regular people like you and I. And this is what the verse says. He was like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. My friends, I want to encourage you tonight. When you go to the throne of grace, if you have just but a mustard seed of faith, oh, the God of heaven will hear you, and he can, and he is willing, and he delights in answering you. And I don't know what it is that you need to bring before the throne. I don't know what it is you need to be asking God for in this season, but let me encourage you tonight. Ask him in faith. Believe on him. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can even ask or think. Oh, I've seen God do it. I've seen God do it. I've shared this story, but I remember a time where we were just getting ready to go into full-time ministry, and we had a baby Abram and Layla at the time, and he was in diapers, and we were just transitioning to go onto the road and begin to raise support to plant a church in LA. And I just remember I was working a commission-only job, and we were just coming to our last pennies. And I remember waking up that morning and my wife informing me that we had one more diaper. And I looked in, my pocket, and I didn't have two nickels to rub together, and the count didn't look much better. And I just remember that day, just for whatever reason, in the past, I've been known to pout. Like, here I am serving you, God. And here I am, I can't put diapers on my baby. And then I'm proud to, some of you men are like me. You're not going to reach out and ask somebody, You're not going to say, hey, can I borrow a few bucks? And I didn't want to do that, my pride. And so I remember looking at my wife and my wife is, she's my greatest gift other than my salvation. She was not complaining. She did not show any emotion. She was trusting God. And I said, let's pray. I said, let's pray, honey. And we prayed, and we said, Lord, we need some diapers. we need this. And I remember just praying and just a peace coming over me. We went through the day and I had some work. I had some appointments, and I remember, I did those, and then I came home, and I didn't have diapers yet still. And I asked my wife, hey, how's the baby doing? Have you had to change him yet? And she's like, no. Surprisingly, he hasn't gone yet all day. And I'm like, well, praise God. And still, just kind of praying, And I remember really most of the day it went that way. And then we were sitting down, and I was just, still praying. And I remember my phone began to ring. And it was a man who I hadn't heard from in about a year. I used to minister to him and his family, and he had moved away to San Diego, and he said, hey, Pastor, for some reason, you're on my heart. I have something for you. And kid you not, he lived out in Lake L.A. And Lake L.A., I keep going back to Lake L.A. But we're in West, Lancaster, and so we don't have much gas, but I'm like, all right, I'm going to drive out here to Lake L.A., right now, drop what I'm doing, and go and see him. And so I told my wife, hey, Brother Henry called me. I'm going to go and see what he has. And she's like, okay, honey. And so I get in the car. I drive out there about, 25 minutes, 30 minutes to get out there and get there. And he's talking to me. And then we talk for about 10 minutes. And, of course, the whole time in my mind, I'm just wondering, like, what is it that you have? What do you got, And so he's like, oh, before you leave, Pastor, I have this for you. And he handed me an envelope, and I put it in my pocket. I didn't look at it in front of him. And I said, oh, thank you. I didn't look at it. So we talked for a few more minutes, and then I get in the car. So I drive around the corner, and I pull over real quick because I got to see. Okay. And I look in it, and there's $2,700 bills. $2,700. I'll never forget it. And I start to weep. I start to praise God. I have a hallelujah session in the car right there, and I couldn't get home fast enough. And I got home, and I walked in the house real casually, And my wife was like, oh, so how'd it go? I said, it went well. And then I just took the envelope out of my pocket and I threw it on the table. I said, "Look at God." And she looks at it and she starts to cry. And I'm telling you, we got diapers and we had a good dinner that night too. I'm telling you, I could tell you more stories like that where God showed up when we prayed and when you guys pray. You know, He is our Heavenly Father. And He's promised to hear us when we cry, when we come to Him in faith. And nothing is more satisfying to me than when my children have a need and they come to me and I can meet that need. And He said, "You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more can your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who come to Him, who ask of Him, my friends?" And I just want to encourage us all, you know, when we are seeking first the kingdom of God and needs arise, we can go to our Father in heaven in faith and He will answer. He is real, y'all. He is real. Effective prayer. It asks for wisdom. It's a prayer of faith. I want you to see unanswered prayer, though. Uneffective prayer, if I may say. Look what the Bible says in the rest of verse 6. It says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." It says, when we come to Him, we cannot come wavering. Like, oh, He can or He can't. He will or He won't. We cannot come like a wave. You've seen the waves, they come, they toss with the wind. And this is not the way to get God to move in our lives. We have to have faith. We have to not doubt. We have to trust Him. Verse 7, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." When we come to God and we are filled with doubt, we will not see His move in our lives. Jesus was talking to the disciples and He had sent them, of course, to cast out a devil out of a young man, and they couldn't do it. And in Matthew 17, and they asked Jesus, hey, why could we not cast out this demon, this devil? And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove from hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible to you." And nothing shall be impossible to you. The rest of that verse, next verse says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. We hear enough of that here, huh? But it's important. Oh, Thomas was a doubter. One of the apostles, and he said, "Unless I see Him, I will not believe." And then, of course, Jesus appeared in the middle of the room, and he looks at Thomas. He says, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Be not faithless, but believing. I'm afraid many Christians could be in this same category tonight, faithless and unbelieving. And I want to encourage you tonight. Remember what God has done. Often I go back to remember what God has done, how He showed up, how He's been faithful, how He is real, and He's answered prayers that no one else knew about, but He answered my prayer. And let me tell you, it strengthens my faith. It emboldens me to ask Him for things that are audacious in the sight of man. And let me tell you, you can bring the little things to God, but I want to encourage some of you in here tonight to pray some bigger prayers, some impossible things, some things that you think in no way, shape, or form it could happen humanly, but we serve the God of the supernatural, and He wants to do those type of things in our lives. He wants to show up and show out. God is all about His glory, and He wants to show His glory through us. The Bible says if a man is filled with doubt, if he doesn't believe that, don't let him think he will receive anything from God. And he said, and he rebukes that person. You know, whatever is not done in faith is sin. The Bible is very clear. And he rebukes it. Verse number 8, for he is a double-minded man. That's not a compliment there. That's not a good look for a Christian. He said he is double-minded. He has a carnal mind, and sometimes it's carnal. Sometimes he's on the spiritual side. It's back and forth. It's unstable in all his ways. And let me tell you, when you do not, as a Christian, when you do not exercise faith in your life, when you do not have a healthy dose of faith in God, let me tell you, you will be unstable in all your ways. Unstable. Any little thing will knock you over and off the faith journey when you don't have enough in God. I want to be like those, you know, those blow up clowns, you know, that you can hit them as hard as you can hit them, right? And they just come right back up. I want to be that resilient because I have faith in God. And let me tell you, Christians who have decided and on a daily basis continue to press in to God and trust God, that's what they're like. They built their lives on the foundation of Christ. So when the storms come, and let me tell you, each and every one of us are either going into a storm, in a storm right now, or coming out of one. I'm telling you, things are going to come up in your life that are going to knock you over. And if you don't have faith, you won't get back up. I've seen it. I've seen people who they spent their whole lives idolizing their spouses. And then when the day comes that they have to bury their spouse, then their whole world is shattered. I've seen it. I've seen people who build their whole identities on some type of skill that they have or employment or something. And then when you're no longer able to do that at a high level, or you no longer have that job or that title or whatever it may be, their whole life, they're lost in the sauce, they may say. They're lost. May it never be said of us. You see, we should be building our lives upon the sure foundation, which is Jesus. He's the only thing in our lives that will never be taken away from us. I'm telling you guys. Effective prayer is filled with faith. It asks for the right thing and asks for wisdom. Ineffective prayer is filled with doubt and is from the double-minded person. Tonight, I want to encourage us in our prayer lives. Number one, let's have a prayer life. Let's ask God daily for wisdom. Let's ask him for direction. Let's not lean on our own understanding. Let's take everything to God in prayer. The old hymn said, take it to the Lord in prayer. Let us not be double-minded. Let us not be faithless. Let us not trust in anything but Jesus. Tonight, I hope I was an encouragement to someone tonight in your prayer life. You may have been praying for something for a long time and you haven't seen the answer yet, but I want to encourage you to persevere in prayer. Keep pressing into God. Keep believing in God. Amen. Amen.